The opposing teams of lawyers sat across from each other at two long tables positioned to form a T. On one side sat the AEC's lawyers, Roger Robb and Carl Arthur Rolander, Jr., the AEC's Deputy Director of Security. Facing them were Oppenheimer's defense team, Lloyd Garrison, Herbert Marks, Samuel J. Silverman, and Alan B. Ecker. At the bottom of the T was placed a single wooden chair where the defendant or other witnesses sat facing the judges. When Oppenheimer was not testifying, he sat on a leather couch against the wall behind the witness chair. Over the next month, Oppenheimer would spend some 27 hours in the witness chair and many more hours languishing on the couch, alternately chain-smoking cigarettes or filling the room with the aroma of his walnut pipe tobacco. That first morning, Oppenheimer and his lawyers had arrived nearly an hour late. A few days earlier, Kitty had had another one of her accidents. This time she had fallen down the stairs and her leg was in a cast. Hobbling on crutches, she slowly made her way to the leather couch, where she sat down with her husband and waited for the proceedings to begin. Robert appeared subdued and almost resigned to his fate. "We made a pretty bedraggled kind of spectacle," Garrison recalled. "Her appearance didn't add much to the smoothness of things." The board seemed pretty irritated by the delay. Garrison apologized for their tardiness. Vaguely alluding to the fact that the press might be onto the story, he said they were delayed because they had been keeping their fingers in the dike. Gray spent the morning reading aloud the AEC's letter of indictment and Oppenheimer's reply. Over the next 3.5 weeks, Gray repeatedly insisted that the proceedings were an inquiry, not a trial. But no one could listen to the AEC's letter of charges without thinking that Robert Oppenheimer was on trial. His alleged crimes included joining numerous Communist Party front organizations, being intimately associated with a known communist, Dr. Gene Tatlock, associating with such other known communists as Dr. Thomas Addis, Kenneth May, Steve Nelson, and Isaac Fulkoff, being responsible for the employment in the atom bomb project of such known communists as Joseph W. Weinberg, David Bohm, Rossi Lomanitz, all former students of Oppenheimer's, and David Hawkins, contributing $150 per month to the Communist Party in San Francisco, and, perhaps most ominously, failing to report promptly his conversation with Hoken Chevalier in early 1943 about George Eltington's proposal to funnel information about the radiation laboratory to the Soviet consulate in San Francisco.